welcome to the Soccer Coaching Podcast, brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly, reflecting our shared ambition to help coaches have the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. We hope you enjoyed this episode and thanks for listening. Hi everyone and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and apologies about the delay between this episode and the last one. It's been so busy. We've had quite a successful football season, especially with our under-14s team, which has meant that the season kind of run on a little bit longer than we anticipated because of the league games were still quite important, and the cup runs as well carried on up until semi-finals and finals. I'm pleased to say that we did have some success and we did manage to win one of those cup competitions, which is fantastic. And even though obviously winning is important and we like that, it's the how you win bit that's the most important bit. And I'm proud of the fact that actually what we achieved this season was great, but also the way in which it was achieved. But that's probably a chat for another podcast. But it is about the under-14s team that I'm going to kind of, instigated essentially the reason for today's topic, which is going to be looking at really how you coach young players in this kind of age group, in this age bracket. So really, I mean, I've been looking at 13s and 14s specifically over the last couple of seasons, but I guess it's slightly more broad than that. You could really go anything from, like, I guess, 11s up to probably 18s and maybe even a little bit further either side there as well. And it's kind of positioned around this whole, how do you coach, or how can you be an effective coach when working with children going through adolescence? And we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute or two. But essentially, I kind of feel, looking back now at the end of the under-14 season, that I probably wasn't as prepared as I could or should have been about some of the things that impact on players in this age bracket. Obviously, as coaches, we focus a lot about the football side of things, or the sport that we're coaching specifically, and how we can tactically and technically support the players. Also, we look at the physical side, I'm sure. Most of us look at that as well, to make sure our players are physically capable as well. And there's some social side stats, make sure we create an environment that enables them to have those social skills to be able to best perform and have maximum game impact. And we work a lot around that and we learn that, particularly if you work through players in the foundation phase. And we'll have seen in the foundation phase that, you know, we know the journey is not linear. We know that players progress at different rates and sometimes go backwards and then forwards, and that can happen as well. But generally speaking, the foundation phase, the things that impact on that are probably a little bit more overt. You can kind of see them, you know. So if you've got maybe a child that's physically bigger, they can dominate certain ways, particularly maybe at, you know, under sevens, eights or nines. If they're maybe early in the year, so if they're say a September, October, November baby compared to maybe a July or August one, you can see maybe sometimes there's some differences there in the sense of physical approach or just the ability to make good decisions, things like that. Not always, but just as a general rule. But in the foundation phase, I think it looks a little bit clearer, some of this stuff. When you get past the foundation phase and maybe into the youth development phase and looking at those age groups where adolescence really kicks in as part of what these players are going through, I think it's a lot more complicated. And I didn't know that 2 years ago, but I do definitely think that now, reflecting back over the last two seasons with the 13s and 14s. So today's episode is going to be relatively short and sweet, but just looking at really some of the top tips that I think, you know, I wish I had known a couple of seasons ago, just to keep my heads up about kind of what may come down the road for me coaching this particular age group. When I looked at this as a topic first, I kind of got myself confused because I am by no means an expert. So that's the first thing to say here. I'm very much an amateur hacker, just trying to shed some, maybe just put a spotlight on this for you guys out there, just think, actually, maybe I need to do a bit more digging around and find out a bit more about this stuff so I can be a bit more informed if I'm about to go into this age phase of coaching with players, so I'm a bit more prepared. So I'm certainly, you know, what I'm going to say is very much just my views and how I've seen things, and you might want to dig around more and get your own views and stuff, and you might want to change back on some of the things that I'm going to say. But essentially, we'll talk a little bit around the topic, and then I'm going to just maybe 10 things that you look at as a coach if you are coaching this age group. Before I get into that, I would add that obviously I've worked mostly with boys over the last two seasons, and you know, although a lot of these things probably cross over between boys and girls, there are obviously some fundamental differences as well. So if you're coaching girls, want to know more about that, I hope this will be useful. But I would say, again, dig a bit deeper around that and do your own research to see, you know, how best you can support females going through this age group, going through stages of their life cycle that, you know, might impact on how you can support them as a coach. The first thing I did was look at about, okay, in human development, where are we really with this age group, 13s and 14s? And what kept coming up was this word adolescence. So I guess you're talking here about adult sense, you know, becoming an adult, growing into becoming an adult. And I think there's three parts to that. They've got like an early part, a mid part, and a late part. And as in all human development, nothing's ever set in stone, and those ages can slightly vary when these things happen. But generally speaking, it seems to be around the 11 up to kind of the 19 mark. So 11-year-olds to 19, somewhere on that journey, there'd be kind of early adolescence, middle adolescence, and late adolescence, and all the things involved in that. But what dovetailed in here and was kind of maybe blurring the picture a little bit was also this subject of puberty, you know, and what that is, and whether these two things are the same thing or whether they're a little bit different. So I'm going to try in my very amateurish way to separate puberty and adolescence. We understand that first. And then we're going to talk about, okay, how some of these things impact maybe on, as a coach, things you want to consider when you're trying to support your players. So the first thing to look at is puberty. So what is puberty? So puberty is a specific phase of human development, and it's characterized by physical changes that ultimately lead to sexual maturity. It's a biological process during which a child's body undergoes significant transformations. These things can include things like, you know, growth spurts. It has the onset of reproductive capabilities, and there's hormonal changes as well, primarily the increased production of sex hormones like estrogen and testosterone. And these play a vital role in driving these physical changes. It says that puberty typically begins around the ages of 8 to 14 in girls and 9 to 16 in boys. So a couple of things that seem to come up quite often here is that with girls, these things seem to happen maybe a year or two earlier, generally speaking, boys a little bit later. But the age bracket is quite varied. So 8 to 14 in girls is a big difference between an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old, and boys again 9 to 16. So, you know, there's a big variation there. So for those of us that have coached in the foundation phase, maybe under 6, 7s, 8s, 9s, 10s, although there are obviously differences between the players, they seem to be a bit more overt. They're kind of clearer to identify, I think. Looking back, it seems a little bit easier. You know, the bigger kids are bigger kids, the slightly older kids are slightly older kids, and you can kind of get a feel for stuff. It seems that actually when you get into this adolescence phase, things certainly become a bit more complicated because it's not all about what you can see and things aren't always obvious to see. And that's, I think, the important part here of how we might be able to then support players who are going through this stage of their life in a better way as coaches. So that's puberty. So what's adolescence then, and what's the difference? So adolescence, on the other hand, is a broader concept, and it encompasses not only the physical change of puberty, but it also encompasses like cognitive, social, and emotional development. It refers to the transitional period between childhood and adulthood. So that adult sense, so becoming an adult. And it's really about that period during which individuals navigate through various psychological challenges and they strive for independence and identity formation. So there's a lot more stuff going on here than I'm not going to be little puberty on its own, but there's more than just puberty going on here. There's lots of other things coming into play. Adolescence involves the development of critical thinking skills, emotional regulation, social relationships, self-identity, decision-making abilities. Is a time when individuals develop their values, interests, aspirations, and gradually transition into adult roles and responsibilities. So there's a lot going on. It's like it's arguably the most, well, certainly one of the key windows of human development. The biological and scientific factors that come into play, along with also the broader kind of social, wider factors that also impact on children, things like starting secondary school, you know, making new friends, you know, getting more independence, maybe being allowed to go out more and do things. You know, there's a whole collection of stuff going on here that, you know, as coaches, when you've got these children, maybe for once, twice, three times a week, whatever, you know, you're dipping in and out of their world a little bit, but there's a lot of chaos that's going on around them. Some they understand, but maybe plenty that they don't understand. And if we don't understand it either, then it makes it much harder for us to kind of relate, make good decisions, and most importantly, support to our full capabilities to give these players the best opportunity to go through this process in a way that's, you know, the most positive way possible. Busy time, a lot going on, key age group. And I kind of feel like as a coach looking back now that I probably didn't know, well, I definitely didn't know enough about it. And it hadn't been flagged up enough on coaching courses for me personally, or, you know, podcasts I listened to, books I'd read. You know, I'm not saying it wasn't mentioned. Of course it was, and it was something I'm completely alien to. But I don't think just how big a difference these things can have on a player's development was really highlighted until you kind of go through and look back and think, actually, you know what? That explains this or that explains that. So definitely important to try and get a bit of an understanding around it. And my job now is to try and just highlight, you know, 10 things that I think now looking back, I wish I'd known a bit more about at the time, because that would help me maybe make better choices and be more supportive for the players that I had. There could probably be another 10 different things you could choose. You might not agree with all of them, but, you know, at least maybe I'm getting you thinking about it a little bit if you're about to kind of start coaching 12s, 13s, 14s, you know, that you think actually, my coaching is all well and good, but there'll be a few curveballs here that might come in just because the age group this is. In summary, puberty specifically refers to the biological changes and the maturation of the body, whereas adolescence is a kind of a more comprehensive term that encompasses the physical, cognitive, social, and emotional aspects of developing during this transition from childhood to adulthood. Adolescence is the phase of life between childhood, and it's kind of like from ages, you know, 10, 11 to 19. And it's a unique stage of human development, and an important time for laying the foundations for good health. And that's the important thing to remember here. A lot of this stuff isn't just about the fact that actually, you know, we need to know how to deal with these players because of the challenge they might bring to us as coaches. Actually, it's a good opportunity to really put in good health practices, you know, the wider like lifelong learning stuff that will make a difference, not just for the next couple of years for these players, but also as they go into adulthood and through the rest of life and become truly independent. What are some of the key different things to be kind of aware of as a coach, if you're coaching this age group? So number one for me on my list was just recognizing individual differences. So boys in this age range would experience like varying rates of growth, and physical development and maturity. Each player will go through puberty at different times and at different pace. And this will impact on their performance and their overall well-being. It will have an impact. For some, it may mean that they get, you know, some benefits of physically developing faster, which means they have an advantage of being more physically capable for a period of time. But also the downside to that is if they do have a big growth spurt and shoot on, then actually they've got to go into their bodies a bit and things impact on that as well. So we'll come on to some of that stuff in more detail in a minute. But the first thing as a coach is just think, even more so than a foundation phase, it's recognizing, really knowing the individuals. Because if you know your players and you know them well, you'll be able to spot some changes that kind of look a bit different to how they were maybe, you know, 3 months ago or 6 months ago. Not just physical, but maybe also how they're acting and stuff. And it's like, well, actually, this isn't really like what Scott was like before. So maybe something's going on here. And it might just be that he's having a bad day. It might, or, you know, he's just, you know, he's losing form or he's not interested in the sport anymore. You know, this could be related to this adolescence or, you know, or puberty factors coming into play. So number one is just recognizing that, you know, the individual differences between the players that you've got. And I know that's something that would be the same across all age groups. I do understand that. But I think it's particularly relevant for us coaches to understand if you're coaching in this age phase, just, you know, that is even more critical to be finely tuned into those individual differences. Okay, so we touched this on the first one, but the second thing would be physical changes. So it's important as a coach that we understand the physical change associated with puberty, such as growth spurts, change of body composition, that we need to be aware of, how that impacts on them. You know, so with the physical changes, we've had some players in our team that some haven't shot up at all yet. You know, they're just finished under 14, so most of them have turned 14 now, but, you know, they probably haven't had a growth spurt at all now, and they're still quite small. Other players that have shot up maybe 2 years ago, went really early, shot up and are big now and have that physical advantage. They're literally heads and shoulders above their teammates, and they were all kind of, you know, very similar ish heights maybe 2 years ago. So you're seeing some big changes there. That said, some of the bigger guys that have shot up, they struggled. Looking back now, I'm thinking one or two of the players in our team a couple of years ago, they really struggled physically for a while. And I think looking back now, bear in mind I'm no expert at all, I think what was happening was their bodies were growing, and they were probably putting on mass, body mass, ready for that, probably a significant growth spurt, which ultimately came. But they didn't have, I'm guessing, the muscular strength at the time to be able to manage their body. So when they had the growth spurts, that, you know, they physically struggled to deal with it because of their muscles weren't big enough to deal with their longer limbs, you know, and they didn't have the internal strength to be able to manage this new body they got. And it took time for him to grow into that body. And now you see, actually, 18 months or so later, you know, they've developed the muscles mass to be able to manage their bigger bodies, bigger limbs, you know, all that kind of stuff. So therefore, they're moving really great. And they've actually got a physical advantage now. It was actually a disadvantage maybe 18 months ago. They looked kind of slow and cumbersome, and they weren't like that before. But now they've kind of found, you know, the body's kind of found its natural strength for it, for what it needs to do. And you know, they're physically dominant, and it's a good advantage for them. But it can be a bit misleading, because, you know, you're seeing these players dominate like under 14s that you might have seen like a big kid dominate, you know, a five-a-side under sixes and sevens, where you've got like the big lad, you know, compared to the other four or five kids that aren't quite as big as him. And, you know, he might not be the best player because he's a head above everyone else. Physically, he can just get, you know, have more game impact. And it's kind of gone back to that at the moment. And you know, when they're six and seven, it does have an impact, I'm sure. But, it, you know, you can kind of see it for what it is. It almost gets lost at under 14s. You almost forget the fact, actually, that, you know, there's an advantage here for some of these players, just because of, you know, they've had an early growth spurt and grown into their bodies before some of the others had. And those other kids that maybe aren't as dominant now, that were dominating maybe two seasons ago, actually, we just need to be patient with them, because, you know, they'll find a way to catch up in their own time. These things balances out, but we have to be patient while they get there. So understanding these physical changes are really important, and just recognizing the fact that something sometimes as a coach, you know, there's only so much you can do, and actually just being positive and I'm not saying flag it up as a thing to the players, but just being patient with it and helping the players understand that, you know, this age phase, different things kick into play, and, you know, you might get some advantages, you might get some disadvantages, but, you know, just persevere, keep the spirits up, keep working on the stuff that you can control, and, you know, things balance out in the end. The knock on to that, obviously, is probably psychological and emotional well-being. So if you've got teenagers yourself, you'll understand that they present their own challenges, as I'm sure we would have been when we were teenagers. But, you know, there's all these kind of hormonal changes going on, which impact on emotions. They impact on energy levels and motivation, which means that some players can be like more irritable or moody. Others might experience fluctuations in their performance. It can bring psychological changes. So we've got to look at things like stress and anxiety, body image issues. All these things can have a psychological impact on the players. And we need to be aware of this, because they're going through these changes. And for us, I know the football is the important bit, and we just want a team of players out there that can provide maximum game impact. And that's the objective. But you'd be foolish to ignore the fact that the reality is, you know, that their growth and what they're going through at this moment in time is going to impact on the football. And, you know, we have to support that the best we can, not always in a negative way, you know, but they've just got to go through these stages, in which means that, they could just have low energy levels. They don't even know why themselves. They could just be a bit more lethargic and slower because their body's losing lots of energy resource to develop itself, to grow. There's things going on in the brain as well that come onto in a little bit in a minute or two as well. So there's lots of things happening here that will impact on performance. And where it was non-linear, it's always non-linear, it's particularly non-linear at this age group where so many things are coming into play. And as a coach, you've got to be able to say, okay, is he having a bad day today? Is he being lazy? Is he just being, you know, grumpy like the typical Scott? Or actually, do you know what I mean? Is there things here that, you know, this is just part of the process and we're going to have to be patient with him? Why this growth stage happens and he comes through the other end of it? So just being aware of the psychological aspects is really key. Following off that, we've kind of got motor skills development. So here it's about recognizing that growth spurts can temporarily affect coordination and motor skills. Boys can experience growth periods where it makes them pretty awkward and they need time to adjust to their bodies. We've seen this ourselves. I've seen players that have kind of shut up and then they've had to grow back into their bodies a little bit. They can feel clumsy and stuff, even though they're big and they look more stronger and able. That can be very deceptive. If their body's not had a chance yet to kind of grow the muscle mass it needs to look after them, you know, the longer limbs and the stuff that's going on, then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be hard for them to have that functional development again. So things that you might notice is on a pitch where the players were kind of the skills they were doing before, they just can't do it as well as they were before. You know, it's like, well, what's happened there? They've kind of lost their form. Well, they haven't really. They just, you know, they're just having to kind of relearn the skill a little bit and the techniques, just because, you know, they're trying to drive a different vehicle essentially to do the same thing in. So I guess, you know, it's a bit like if you're driving around in a small sports car doing one thing and then you drive around in a bigger SUV kind of vehicle, it just requires a different technique in which to drive properly. And young people have to go for that process again once their bodies are developed, just to fine tune those motor skills again. But you know, you'd hope that all the work that was done previously, it's kind of hardwired in there, and it's just retuning and kind of getting back in that zone again, and it will come back stronger and sharper than before. And I'm sure it will, as it does. But as a coach, you might just be a bit patient with it and recognize, actually, this isn't the kid not trying, and this isn't the kid losing form, or this isn't the kid not being a good player. It's just actually, you know what, just needs a bit of time. We touched on it already, but the next thing I'd talk about is cognitive development. So here it's about understanding that cognitive abilities such as decision-making and problem-solving and tactical understanding are still very much developing during adolescence. And it's really important for coaches to think about, you know, how they enhance players' cognitive skills and encourage critical thinking on the field. It's like a key window for them. So, you know, we have to be aware of the fact that their brains are changing as well. It's not just a physical thing. Like their brains are rewiring. There's things happening here where certain parts of the brain are becoming more susceptible for information and opening up. Other parts are kind of closing down a little bit. So you've just got to think about how, you know, the child is, what stage they're at in this process as well, cognitively, and how that might impact on their football. So if they're making, you know, decisions they weren't making before that aren't so great, this could be part of that reason as well. You know, just the fact that actually, you know, their brain's just doing some rewiring and it needs a bit of time just to embed this stuff and just kind of sort itself out a little bit again and be patient with it. And, you know, good practice will come together. Doesn't mean you don't coach still. It doesn't mean you don't give advice. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, make observations about stuff. But again, maybe just being a bit more patient and thinking, actually, there might be something else going on here that I can't see, which is the reason why actually these decisions aren't great that are being made. Or maybe actually they've really kicked on and actually they've gone through this now and part of their brain is really wired in now and they're taking on information to be able to stretch themselves further than they were before because of they've gone through this process. So just that cognitive development and understanding about, you know, their ability to problem solve and, you know, tactical awareness, that kind of stuff, you can see maybe fluctuate. You may have one player that's really way off and one player that's way ahead in this age phase, where maybe in the foundation phase there's kind of a little bit closer. You know, you've always got maybe one that's a bit further ahead than others, but you know, the range isn't as wide. It could certainly be a lot wider when you're talking about going through the adolescence phase. Okay, another thing to think about here is probably social dynamics. So adolescence is a time when peer relationships and social dynamics become increasingly more important. I guess here, the more we can foster like a positive team environment, like encourage teamwork and provide opportunities for players to develop like social skills and healthy relationships, this is kind of a really good opportunity to tap into the world of sport and team games, particularly like in football where it is a team game, to kind of offset some of this other stuff that might be going on. So, you know, people understanding that, you know, they've got friends, they've got emotional support around them, they've got common values and core interests, and actually, you know, whatever's going on in their lives individually, you know, there's a collective here that, you know, people are all in different phases, but actually, you know what, we're all pulling together. So the camaraderie and the companionship and that the trust and the good environment, all these things can really help, I guess, young players going for adolescence that, you know, some will struggle with this, you know, and it'll be more challenging for others. It will be for some other different players. And actually, the more they work together and the more they feel like they're part of a family and can trust each other, I'm sure that would be a positive in the sense of just developing that social dynamic element and just get them through what could be a challenging phase of their life. So it's a great way in which as coaches, we can use sport to support these young players through this key stage. On a kind of a more technical and like practical basis, we've got to think about training loads and management. So, you know, due to the physical changes and growth spurts, boys may be more susceptible to fatigue and injury. So we've really got to think about our training loads and ensure that players get a lot of rest and recovery time. You know, if they're going to grow a fair bit, then like I say, I think it's fair to say that it takes a bit more time for the muscles to catch up with the limb growth. Generally speaking, it depends on where they're coming from, you know, from before the growth period. But, you know, for most players, I would imagine that if they've had a significant limb growth, you know, maybe a couple of centimeters over a couple of months, sometimes it's more than that, you know, the muscles will take a bit of time to catch up potentially. So, you know, what you don't want to do is overload really too much there and just allow the players an opportunity to catch up and grow into their bodies. Doesn't mean they don't train, I don't believe. Again, I'm not a physical trainer, so the research this stuff for your own benefit and for your players' benefit, but I would imagine that it would make sense to, you know, vary the loads a little bit, certainly give rest and recovery, And, you know, if players are getting injuries, or we want to injury prevention better than injury cure, you know, just think about, okay, how we look at other movements we could do. So we're maybe relaxing, you know, not putting much pressure on things like knee joints or things like that, the stuff that they get a lot of impact on anyway. And you could look at other sports potentially just for a bit of time or part of the session, just to take some load off. It's just thinking cleverly about how you manage the loads. And again, that back to point one about that, the individual, you know, what might be right for one of your players may not be right for another one in this phase because of where they are, you know, on this kind of adolescence cycle and what stage they're at. Number eight would be just communication and empathy. So again, I think as a coach, I look back on the last 2 years and there was definitely decisions that I've kind of made and ways in which I've approached things with the players. I don't ever think it was unpleasant, but it may have been not as understanding as it could have been. And there was probably factors I look back now, I think actually that was probably more to do with adolescence or factors related to puberty and changes that, you know, the way you did the act in a particular session or, you know, the way you performed over a period of time. And even though I don't believe I've ever kind of challenged back or been critical of the players, certainly not directly, you know, in my own thinking, I was probably looking at it from a slightly different angle and potentially drawing wrong conclusions around, you know, why players were performing or acting in a certain way. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't elements there that, you know, are unrelated to that, and it's just part of their natural characteristics. But I think, you know, some of this stuff was maybe exaggerated or magnified because of the stuff that they were going through. And I look back now, I think actually that kind of makes more sense looking at it through that lens than I did the lens I was looking through at the time. And if I'd known what I know now, I'd probably would have thought about it differently and therefore maybe could have supported a bit better. Because even though I don't think I created a negative environment around the players individually, I mean, I certainly at times could have been probably more supportive and more helpful as a coach to help them. So I look back now and I think, oh, I wish I'd known some of these things before because I'd have probably seen it a bit different. So maintaining open lines of communication with players, being empathetic towards their concerns and challenges, you know, is useful. You know, you've got to be careful here, I think. You know, safeguarding comes into play here. So, you know, I'm not saying these should be open necessarily conversations around stuff. You know, the schools will do a lot, I'm sure, around trying to support children and, you know, the going through adolescence and puberty, that kind of stuff. So I think as coaches, we've got to know our limitations where, you know, and where we're comfortable talking about. But I guess just being aware of it is the first stage. And then kind of having ways in which you might want to tap into resources yourself, additional support or people you can call on for advice and guidance should you need to. So if you've got a situation with a particular player that you kind of feel like, oh, I don't know how to address it, then, you know, maybe at least have a number or contact or someone you can talk to either through the club or find someone online that can give you some support and guidance around the best way of supporting those players around any issues or challenges or concerns you might have. But what you don't want to do is kind of close down and be like, actually, for the players, feel like actually, you know, you kind of open conversations with them whilst always maintaining that kind of coach player relationship and keeping it the way it should be. The other thing to mention here is nutrition and hydration. This is really important. I think back to one of the points you made at the very beginning here. This is a key time for the players to get really good kind of health concepts embedded. And while they're going through this period of growth and maturation, then I think the more as coaches, that's particularly related to sports, you know, we can embed some good practice and some good habits, then obviously nutrition and hydration is part of that. So helping players understand the importance of proper nutrition, eating the right things, understanding when to eat, how to eat, the stuff that we all take for granted, but there's a lot more to it now. I think to be fair, people these days tend to know a lot more about it than we did when we were younger, but you know, you just don't know. So, you know, what are good foods? Why are they good foods? What's the right thing to eat at certain times if you can, without making it too much of a thing, because body conscious people and diet fads, these kind of things are dangerous as well. So well, you don't want to over egg it, but obviously just good practices, leading by good examples, you know, maybe where you can. And alongside nutrition, obviously hydration, so the importance of, you know, getting on fluids, drinking enough water, you know, staying energized, all those kind of things. And where you can, again, provide some guidance on that. You may, again, maybe that the club can reach out and find a nutritionist to come on and just do a half an hour Zoom call with the players with you there as well. Things I'm sure you'd hope they'll cover at school, but I guess you just don't know. Or you could, you know, just find someone online yourself and have a chat about that and just re-embed some of these good practices in kind of a fun, relaxed way. So it doesn't feel like it's pressure around food and stuff, but just, you know, just some good practices there. I think at that age, it's a good thing for the players to kind of get familiar with. And then really the final one, it's a bit of a weird one, but I think it's something worth mentioning because I don't imagine it's an easy one for anyone to approach if we need to. But part of the transition from child to adulthood and going through adolescence, obviously as you become an adult and boys become men, essentially, there's the whole thing around personal hygiene, body changes, you know, players will begin to sweat more. They'll grow facial hair, all these things will happen, stuff like that. So we work in sports. So just good hygiene, just bringing it up in a way that's probably, if you do it earlier rather than later, before it's an actual, it could be a thing, then, you know, players can get in the habit of just making sure that they come clean, their clothes are clean, they understand about body odor and that kind of stuff, and just find a way in which you do it before there's actually maybe a reason to have to do it, which makes it a lot more awkward, I guess. And again, this isn't something I think, you know, is necessarily a coach's job, but if you want a happy squad, a productive squad where, you know, the focus is on the sport you're trying to develop rather than like other distractions, and these things can quite easily become distractions. And if you want to provide, you know, a good positive environment, then the more you're aware of these things before they may become an issue, the more you can kind of either get yourself in a place where if you need to deal with it, you feel like you can, or it, better still, you know, you're prepared and you kind of almost get ahead of it a little bit before it happens. Because there's certainly a lot of things on here that, looking back now, that I definitely wasn't prepared for and didn't really know about and know how to deal with. And I did my best in the moments, but actually looking back now on reflection, probably could have done things better before. And certainly probably missed opportunities where I could have been more helpful to the players at those key times. So yeah, so that's kind of where we're at with it. So I guess the podcast was just about some of the things to consider when working with players at a particular age phase, looking at that kind of teenagery kind of years, particularly I've been having the 13s to 14s, but anyone kind of going through that puberty and that adolescence period. The key takeaways here are to remember that, you know, the age range is kind of anywhere from around 11-ish up to 19, but can, you know, can be wider than that. Children will go for this at different rates. You know, some will kind of have short windows, some will have longer windows, some will have like, you know, little spurts here and there, and it will balance off again. There are three stages to adolescence. So you've kind of got the early adolescence, middle adolescence, and late adolescence. I think girls tend to start these things a year or two earlier than boys, generally speaking. But again, that's not hard and fast as a rule. And the kind of the 10 things that I kind of thought would be important to think about if you're coaching this age group would be kind of thinking about, you know, the importance of recognizing individual differences. It's really key. I think it's always key in coaching, but particularly across this age phase, recognizing how there'll be physical changes, recognizing the importance of psychological and emotional well-being during this time, recognizing the impact on motor skill development. It will be significant. Recognizing the impact on cognitive development as well, and how some players will struggle for certain periods around decision making and game intelligence, that kind of stuff. You know, and the other players will kick on with this. Recognizing the importance of social dynamics, you know, and relationships between kind of each other and, you know, the peers, and how that comes into play now. Recognizing training load, and, you know, where maybe you won't want to treat every player the same, have the same regime, and recognizing if they've had a growth spurt or they're struggling a little bit physically, and trying to do injury prevention there as much as we can. Communication, empathy, so, you know, making sure that we keep an environment that's positive and open, so the players feel like, you know, they're in a safe space, and as a coach you've been empathetic. Using it as an opportunity really to reinforce good practice around nutrition and hydration. And then finally, just, you know, understanding the importance of kind of that personal hygiene stuff as you go from being a child to being an adult, and just how you look after yourself in that way. I think as coaches, we're expected to like know a lot about a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's just impossible really. And like I said, for this podcast, I couldn't be further away from being an expert in this field. I know very little about it, certainly not enough. And the point of today is really just to get us thinking a bit more about, okay, I need to know a bit more about this, and I'd rather know in advance before I'm with this age group or afterwards. I look back and think, actually, I could have done that a bit differently. So hopefully if you're currently coaching 9s, 10s, 11s, and you're about to get into that 12s, 13s, 14s age range, then this will be useful. If you're already in it, then hopefully it's useful. If you've gone through it, then please do reach out and say, actually, Scott, that was a load of nonsense. It's this or this, and tell me what's right, or, you know, what we did get right, or what your experience was and how you found it. And we can share some of that stuff. There is plenty of stuff online to look out for. One thing that relates to this really closely is probably around that strength and conditioning, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I think it's worth looking at that, because actually how you strengthen conditioning for your players, particularly getting around this age phase, is very important because of the fact that they're going through all these other changes and that can impact on them physically and psychologically. So do your research, find out what you can. It's another thing, to get your head around in this crazy world of coaching. But I'm sure the more you understand it and the more you can recognize some of these things that relate to it, then the better chance you've got of supporting your players, which in turn help them kind of maximize their potential in the team and contribute the most. And that's good for everybody. I hope that was useful. Thanks for bearing with me. It was one of those episodes where I kind of thought, you know what, I just want to talk about this one because it's been part of my journey over the last couple of years. And I would like to have something like this. If I had it 2 years ago, it would have got me thinking a bit sooner. So I hope it's been useful. Thank you very much for listening. And please do like the episode. Please do share if you can. Reach out if you've got anything you want to talk about. The email address is in the show notes. And we've almost got to 100 episodes. So we'll be looking forward to celebrating that soon. And I'm sure there'll be a couple of good things coming up with some guests and some good topics as well. So thanks for your time. Take care, everyone. Bye. This episode was brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly. Established since 2006, Soccer Coach Weekly is a leading source of inspiration and advice for all grassroots coaches. Join thousands of youth soccer coaches just like you, saving time and effort in their goal of having the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode.